the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Welcome, Brains, back to On the Edge with April Mahoney. Yes, this right here, this is the spot. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we have a wonderful guest, an amazing children's author. She's a former nurse, but she's also a channeler for spiritual energy for human beings as well as animals. And what we're going to do is we're going to kind of split this. We are going to do a twofer. We are featuring a lot of authors and a lot of great books for our baby brains, you know, because we want to pour literacy into them, let them enjoy reading and being read to. So Mary is going to read from one of her children's books. She's an author of three. That's right. Maggie Moose. What is it? Maggie Moose? Yeah. Maggie Moose Tracks. Okay. And it's a great story. I'm looking so forward to that. We're going to talk about her work as a former nurse and how she found spirit. So do you remember when you were a child, and do you remember Hobo Kelly?
No, I don't.
Well, girl, you missed a treat. Hobo Kelly was a clown, and she'd have these big goggles on, and she'd look right into the camera, and she'd say, "I see Kim and Bobby and Mary and Stanley and Keisha and Taekwon and Michelle," but she never saw April for some reason. So today she's going to see April, and she's going to see all of the baby brains out there. I'd like to welcome our guests to the Edge. You know, I don't even like that intro. Hold on. I have a clean break. Slow down, April. Welcome back to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Oh yes, here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Do you see her? Do you see her right over there? That is Mary Campbell. She is an amazing children's author, a former nurse, but she also has a very spiritual gift of being able to channel messages and energy from the world beyond, be it an animal or a human. We're going to talk to her about all that and then some. But I wanted to dedicate the first part of the interview to our baby brains, you know, because they're smart. And we want to do a reading from one of Mary's books, Maggie Moose Tracks. And it's about a wonderful dog, but the dog has antlers. Okay, moose antlers. And we want to find out her writing process, her writing style, but she's got some very deep, encoded, embedded messages about life and being a good person inside the pages of those books. So, Brains, help me welcome her to the Edge, our guest today, Mary Campbell, all the way from Texas. How you doing, Mary?
Hey, I'm doing fabulous on this rainy day in central Texas, but everything's warm and bright right here.
That's right, and that's what we're doing, the warm and the bright. I can't believe all that sunshine there. You say it's raining.
Yeah, you know, but this is Texas. I could wake up tomorrow or in a few hours, and it could be like summer. Texas, you get it all. You never know what to wear.
So tell us a little bit about where you live there in Texas, because you've got a whole bunch of animals and wildlife. Tell us a little bit about where you live there.
Okay, well, my folks have property here, and we're all animal lovers. And so I have a horse, I have a dog, I have a cat, I have two goats. And we have other horses, donkeys, mini horses, and more goats. Wow. So, but at the time I wrote my children's books, I was actually in the San Francisco Bay Area by Stanford University when I was in my nursing job. And so it's a whole different environment. And that's where I got a puppy I named Maggie, who was an English Springer Spaniel. and people loved her because she was so lovable. And I thought, my kids are grown. What can I do for kids? Because my dog's so sweet. I should write children's books about my dog. But like April said, I wanted to put a little more into it than just a book. So I wanted kids to know that no matter how out of ordinary they felt, or if they felt different, or if they were bullied, that they're all unique and incredible and extraordinary, and to embrace their special uniqueness, because, hey, those are our future leaders, pathfinders, artists, authors, inventors, so much more. So I wrote my books with that in mind, and I created this little puppy character named Maggie who had moose antlers. And behind that moose antler business was she had moose guardians, much like we have angel guardians, guardian angels, angels, other spirit people, family who watches over us. I wanted Maggie and kids to know that there are invisible beings out there that help them. They're not alone, even if they feel alone.
I have some Native American friends, and they taught me about my spirit guide. You know, and that all of us are born with spirit guides, animal spirit guides. And right. So I really understand where you're coming from and what you're doing. So, Brains, I want to tell you too, baby Brains, have your mommy and daddy go ahead and enter their name. You don't have to put your name on there to win one of our signature book bags and Maggie's books. Okay, Maggie, the Moose Tracker books. It's a series of three, right, Mary?
Right, right.
And Mary is going to do a reading for us, so I want you guys to get comfortable, grab your peanut butter and jelly sandwich and some milk, and Miss Mary is going to read to us, okay? I want you to pay attention and be good, okay? All right. So, Mary, please start out with a reading from Mary Moose Tracker.
Okay, so here's Maggie Moose Tracks, Making Friends, and that's little Maggie with her moose antlers.
Look at her. Is she cute?
She's adorable. Okay, chapter one, Baker's Dozen. When Maggie was born, her mom, Cookie, whispered in her ear, "You are precious, little one." Maggie felt happy hearing her mom's words. She was the smallest puppy of 13. Look at here. There's Cookie with all her puppies and little Maggie. Her little moose antlers made her very different from the other puppies, but they loved her just the same. There were 6 boys and 6 girls before her. Now she made the 7th girl. A regular dozen is 12. She heard Mrs. P, the owner of the Bar W Ranch, say, "Number 13 made this puppy litter a Baker's Dozen." 13 felt lucky to Maggie. It was good being different. She thought maybe that's why her mom told her she was precious. Life on the ranch for Maggie was a happy one. Chasing butterflies and tumbling in fun with her brothers and sisters kept her life busy. She lived with her mom, her dad, and her 12 brothers and sisters. The barn where the dogs slept at night on soft beds of hay. The horses shared the barn with them. At night, the barn kept them all safe from the wild animals in the forest nearby. The only outside animals on the ranch were the cattle. They stayed in the pastures on the property. The morning the sun was shining. It was a warm day. Maggie was outside running around with the chickens. Look at little Maggie running around. Then a noise came from the ranch's driveway. It startled her. An old red pickup truck pulled up the rocky dirt road leading into the ranch property. Out stepped an older man and an older teen boy. Mrs. P came out of the house, wiping her hands on the apron. There's Mrs. P with her chickens. "Good morning, Ezra and Seth," said Mrs. P. "You're on time to pick up the puppy. Her new family's waiting for her arrival. Let me get the crate to put her in. I have her paperwork inside." Ezra, the older man, told his son Seth to go get the crate from Mrs. P. While Seth was inside the house, Ezra saw Maggie's mom, Cookie. "Come here, old girl," said Ezra. Cookie walked over to the older man. He petted Cookie on the head while he told her, "Don't worry, girl, we'll get her there safe." Cookie left the older man's side. She went to go find Maggie. Cookie had been through this many times before. Puppies were born, got older, and were ready for their new families. Cookie loved all of her puppies. Sadness came over her as she looked for her smallest puppy. Maggie was busy poking her head in the flower bed, looking for bugs and twigs. A cold, wet nose touched Maggie's shoulder. Maggie turned to see her mom. In Maggie's mouth was a twig. Maggie loved twigs. Cookie said, "Maggie, the men with the red truck are going to take you to your new home." The twig dropped. Ooh, what's happening? Chapter 2, The Red Pickup Truck. Maggie didn't understand. She asked her mom, "What new family?" Cookie replied, "You're old enough now to go to a family that will feed you, take care of you, and love you." Maggie asked, "Will they really love me?" "Yes, Maggie, they really will love you. Remember, I told you, you are precious. Always remember what I've said to you." "Okay, Mother," Maggie said. Maggie joined her curious brothers and sisters to say their goodbyes with puppy licks. The puppies were sad about Maggie leaving, but smelled bacon grease on the older boy's pant legs. The puppy licked, licked, and licked all over the pant legs. Here's little Maggie. Seth came out of the ranch house holding the crate. Ezra shouted from the front door of the truck, "Put the puppy in and make sure you latch that crate door tight." Seth picked Maggie up while the other puppies were climbing all over his legs. "Goodness, you sure are different looking." He was smiling at how cute all the other puppies looked with their short tails and round bellies. All 12 were so excited about him. He put Maggie in the crate while he tried to free his pant leg from the puppies. He told the puppies, "Now move away," as he shook his leg out of the puppy pile around his leg. The crate went in the back of the red pickup truck. Both men got in the truck. The motor started. Maggie looked out the crate's metal door. All Maggie saw was the rear tailgate of the truck. The truck drove down the country road away from the Bar W Ranch. The road was bumpy. It was filled with rocks and dirt. Last week's rain caused some deep potholes in the road. Every now and then, a tire dropped down in the pothole, causing the crate to bounce around the bed of the pickup truck. Maggie slid towards the crate door when the truck went uphill. When the truck went back downhill, Maggie went to the front of the inside of the crate. Maggie felt dizzy. The truck hit another pothole, causing the wire crate door to open up since Maggie's weight was against it. Her body slid towards the rear tailgate. She was free of the crate. Maggie wondered where she was. All four paws wobbled towards the boxes in the truck bed. Maggie stepped up on some boxes to see. Her paws were hanging over the edge of the truck's walls. The wind blew by her. There's Maggie. She got out of the crate. Now what? She saw lots of tall trees and dust behind her truck. Her little ears flapped behind her with the gusty wind as they drove. The red pickup truck made several stops and turned on different country roads. It looked like they were higher up than the rolling hills to where she lived. Things looked very different. Many trees of all shapes and sizes were in her vision. Up until today, all she knew were the buildings on the ranch and the fenced pastures. The truck went fast. It had to swerve to miss a deer on the road. When the truck swerved, Maggie's body went flying over the edge of the truck. She landed onto the side of the road lined where fresh grass grew. She rolled and tumbled all the way down the side of the hill, and off the truck went without her. What's going to happen next? You'll have to read chapter 3.
Wow.
Called Flint. Might that be Flint the cat?
Wow. We'll
have to find out.
Thank you so much for that, Brains, Baby Brains. We want to thank Miss Mary for reading and sharing. And what was the inspiration behind your book? Because there's a lot of Baby Brains out there that write stories, and children communicate through art and through storytelling to talk about their experiences, to talk about their pain, their joy, what makes them happy. What was your inspiration, and what process did you go through to create these three masterpieces?
Okay, first off, I wanted to create color. I wanted to put color in children's lives. not just the black and white chapter books with words on the recycled paper, which are all valuable. I used to read tons of them as a child. But I wanted to really stimulate their imagination with lots of color and inspire them. And so I also wanted to give a message. I just didn't want to write a book that was entertaining, but I wanted kids to have adventures. I wanted them to be open-minded. I wanted them to feel special about themselves because life is kind of cruel. And, you know, if you have a good inner core, then you can do anything in life. And not all children get that. And not all children, I was also thinking of the kids in the cities who never see the country. They never meet animals in person. So I wanted them to be able to live through Maggie's adventures as if they were out there with her in the country, meeting the animals and the kids. And so that's why I created Maggie Moose Tracks.
Well, I mean, that is wonderful. And then you didn't just do one, you did three. So do you have all three of the books? Because, Baby Brains, yes, you have an opportunity to win, again, a book bag. What? You can put all your great stuff in there and also Maggie Moose Tracks books. Yay!
And this is book two, Maggie Moose Tracks Christmas Star. And also in book two and three, there are actually pages in the back the kids can color. And here's a page where Maggie says, draw here. Maggie wants to see what you can create so you can do your own special little artwork. But there's some other pages you can color in as well. And this book, Christmas Star, I'll read the back. Maggie spends her first winter in the forest. When Flint, the feral cat, celebrates Hanukkah, Maggie asks herself, what is her holiday tradition? Meanwhile, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver try to save Maggie's friend Charlie from drowning in the raging river. This adventure and more keep Maggie and her friends busy while Maggie searches for the meaning of her Christmas tradition. Will she find it upon a Christmas star? So, lots of fun inside. And then the third book is Maggie Moose Tracks Wolf Pack. And this one as well has illustrations in the back. Ooh, there's Alfonso the alligator. Gonna have to learn about him. He's very interesting. And also draw here. Maggie wants to see what you can create. Okay, I'll read the back. Flint, the feral cat, warned Maggie about the wolves. At the edge of the cliff, the wolf cub, Dakota, stared at the English Springer Spaniel puppy, Maggie. It was a standstill with their bodies frozen in place. No one dared to move. Then, with a swift leap, Dakota the wolf cub pounced on Maggie. They both went tumbling down the rock slide into the canyon below. Will Maggie make it back? Was Flint right? The wolves can't be trusted? And looky here. Here's Maggie's little moose guardians. Like you all have a special little guardian or spirit guide.
Always, everybody has a spirit guide, born with two of them.
Right.
So, you know what? Let's talk a little bit about that. So, Baby Brains, I hope you enjoy that and that your parents enter you to win a copy of Maggie Moose Tracks. Or, also, they're available on Amazon, correct?
Correct. They're and also available at Lilydale Assembly. It's a spiritualist community in New York. Lilydale, but they're only open from spring, summer. Well, but they're in their bookstore as well.
Well, that's great. And so Kim and Michael and Keisha and Taiwan and Beverly, all you guys, go out and get one of these books. I remember when I was a kid, Hobo Kelly had these big glasses. She saw everybody but me, but I see all of you. So thank you so much for that reading. We really appreciate that. So now on to some adult stuff, Mary.
Yeah.
You've been able to channel spirit guides. You've been able to talk to spirits. I remember when I first met you, you said, I talked to the dead. I was like, wow. All right, I can get you. I can get you. Tell us a little bit about when you learned about your intuitive gift and where it came from.
Well, actually, it does come from generations back. Three that I know of, but I've been told it's further back. So I just kind of have it. But when I was a child, I would do things that really weren't of this lifetime. They're really of another lifetime. Like, I'd be like an Indian doing Indian ceremonial things. And my mother thought, my folks thought I was crazy. But it was who I was. Anyway, move along further in life. I had other experiences where I would say, oh, I know about that. And my folks would say, you couldn't know about that because you weren't even born. But I knew everything about it. So that's just past lives. I would also see spirits. I would see angels. My children saw angels. I have sketches that they did. So many kids are very spiritual. I could talk to people that had passed when I was little, but it wasn't until my teens when I really started getting bombarded with spirit that it kind of freaked me out. And I'm like, no, I don't want anything to do with this. So I just went on to my life. You know, I became a registered nurse, working, got married, had kids. When my children were grown and gone, it's like spirit came knocking on my door telling me, hey, you need to do this work. So I came into this world as a healer, a registered nurse, but it was time to shift. It was time to really go into my higher purpose in life, which was working for spirit, helping other people realize their gifts, helping them find their answers for themselves, or connecting with a loved one in spirit that had passed, whether that be human or animal, because I bring a lot of animals come through because I have such a strong love of animals, and right. Now I'm surrounded by animals.
Right.
So what does your body go through when you channel? Do you, you know, some people channel with their eyes open, some closed, some channel through meditation, some use different types of modalities. They use crystals, they use aromatherapy. What is your channeling process?
Well, I find for myself, and I believe this to be true for most people, is you really have the power within you. You really don't need a lot of other modalities to tap into your own spirituality and your own power. And so what I basically do is I sit in the power for about 20 minutes every day, and I just be quiet. And I just listen to myself and what spirit has to say. And I have a dialogue with the spirit people and the guides. And for me, that keeps me clear, keeps me grounded. I don't need a lot of woo-woo stuff like crystals or lavender spray and things like that, because I really believe there really isn't evil. People do horrible things on this planet, but there's a big misconception among hauntings and such. If you really dig down deep, a lot of that is not scary. It's just entertainment. And the uglier it is, the more entertaining it is, like on TV and in the media.
Right.
But I've found spirit people to be full of unconditional love, whether they're an animal or a human. Right. And so I hope to correct some of those misconceptions.
Well, that's beautiful. So you have been able to write children's books and document these stories. You have been able to channel spirits, be it four-legged or two-legged. But all this comes from your work also as a registered nurse. And right. You use a very interesting term. You say soul sucking. Tell me a little bit why you found that work in the end, because I know that it was very rewarding in the beginning. You save lives. I mean, you know, shout out to all my nurses. Hey, one up for you.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I think that nurses are more influential and impactful than the actual doctor. I see that, you know, texting the doctor to give the final order, but you're there to turn the patient. You're there to hear their moans. You're there to support the family. You're there to give them their medication. You know, nurses really rule, but again, it sucks the life out of you. Tell us a little bit about your experience.
Okay, well, I started out as a trauma nurse, the kind of nurse that worked in units where they would have horrible accidents of many different kinds, and usually people would donate their heart and other body parts to save another life. So it's very horrendous that way, but I also saw a lot of miracles. So I have a varied career in that ICU realm, but also emergency, newborn nursery. But then I got into more of the financial part, utilization review, case management. And what happened for me at the end of my decade's career is that it became soul-sucking because it was all about counting the dollar. And it's, hospitals still give great care. I'm not criticizing that. But it seemed to me the more involved with governmental type things, it just kind of took away from the patient care.
And heaven forbid,
in my opinion, that's not everyone's opinion.
Right. But, well, I'll say it, you know, I always get in trouble for it. But really, well, people are not big business, okay?
And that's so, right.
You know, what are we going to do? And heaven forbid you have a pre-existing condition. You broke a finger when you were 12 and now you've got arthritis and you can't get medication for it. That's a whole nother show. So, but through all of that, you've seen people make transitions. You've seen them, you know, suffer with great pain, but you've also seen great healing. Did spirit ever connect with you when you were a nurse working with people?
Right. When I was a case manager in an ER, I would walk in the mornings, work the day shift, and I would know who had passed, what room they were in. I would just know. And then I'd look on the medical record because we would have the electronic records and, oh, sure enough, yeah, that one passed. Or what would happen is they would just pass and then the spirit person would be like talking to me. Because their loved ones were crying and sad, grieving, but the spirit person who just passed would be saying, I'm okay, tell them I'm okay. And it's like, well, I can't really do that.
Right.
Not my job description here, and I don't know that they might
be. Not in a pay grade.
So, you know, in essence, when your loved ones pass, they really are not in pain. They're not suffering. And all they want for you is to be happy and to feel the love. But we're human and we have to go through the grief process. But when you transform onto the other side, you have no pain. And if you went through a horrendous thing, you have no memory of it. So it's like a clean slate, and you can choose the life you want to live on the other side. I've seen that many times when they've come to me and told me, oh, I'm racing cars now. Oh, really? You know, or, oh, I'm on my skateboard. Okay.
What do you say to the person that comes to you and wants some channeling done, but they're afraid?
That's the biggest misconception, that there really is no fear in the spirit world. And there really does not need to be any fear for the living people, because all your loved ones want to do is to let you know they love you, they care about you, they see you. They're at the graduation, they're at the wedding, they are at those special moments, even though physically, they're not there. Spiritually, they are there witnessing those things, because many times they'll testify to exactly what they saw happen. How would they know they were dead? Not really.
Okay, share this with me. What would you say to a baby brain? You know, I've got a friend that the grandmother died and, you know, she didn't know how to handle it. And so, you know, me saying, well, how about starting with the truth? Letting them know that we are all organic and we are all going to expire at one point or another. You know, kids are very smart. People think they're going to ask all these questions. They're going to ask you 1, 2, 3 questions. After you answer that, then it's on to the next thing. So what she told her was, oh, well, you know, grandma's just there sleeping. Now the child is afraid to go to sleep because they're going to end up in a casket. So how do you have that conversation with them about transitioning? I know that you're not a psychologist, you're a registered nurse, but you've dealt with the spiritual realm. and the comforting in knowing that there is peace on the other side. How do you share that with children?
Right. And you would really have to gear it towards what their family beliefs are, whatever their family belief system is, you know, because you don't want to infringe upon that. But as children, I would probably be more likened to say, well, they're no longer with us physically, like you and me are, you know, with our bodies, you can touch us and all that and see us. They're more like they get to be invisible now. But they always come around you. They always love you. And they might even come and talk to you, and you might be able to see them, but not always. I would probably do something more like that to let them know that they're just transformed into another form, you know, and invisible seems to be the best one.
Well, and you know, you can really break it down to things that are very simplistic. I know when I learned about sex, it was the dogs having puppies. I was like, oh my goodness. And then I saw them give birth and I saw how, you know, she took care of them. It was beautiful. Well, the metamorphosis of caterpillars, you know, how they go into a cocoon and then they come out as a butterfly. So you can give your children visuals that they very, very clearly understand and can relate to when it comes to life transitions and
right.
life processes. You know, right. You have goats. Are they fun? I see all these baby goats. All my friends are loving these baby goats. Ellen's got some baby goats.
They're hysterical.
What's and they jump around. What is up with the goats?
They just like to have fun. And they love, well, at least my goats, one of them for sure, loves to be petted. Loves that. But we do have a baby goat here, a kid, they call him. And he is just adorable. He runs around and he like hops. Like,
yeah,
like
I see that.
Like
they're like the new nouveau pet animal. My daughter wants a Highland cow. You know, the ones with all the hair.
Oh, I love those. I saw them in Scotland.
Yeah, she did too. She says, how can I get it on the plane? I said, you can't. You can't. So you are there in beautiful Texas, and you have all that land, and you have all these wonderful animals, all the time in the world to write children's books, but also you have time to contribute to adult books. Tell us about the anthology that's going to be released here soon.
Yeah, it was just released on February 6th. All the details aren't here yet, but it is on Kindle, and it's a compilation book where 13 women wrote about their stories about living their higher purpose, because that's exactly what I did when I left my soul-sucking job, when spirit was like, get out of that job. Mm-hmm. And it was literally a leap off a cliff, you know, pure faith. So this book is called Women on Purpose. 13 women share their journey to living their highest calling. And the author, the main author, is Jennifer Longmore. It's 99 cents on Kindle right now. And it hit number one, bestseller. So already it's doing great out of the box. But if you want to read my story, how I transitioned to live out my higher purpose, there's a chapter called Mary Campbell, M-A-R-I, Campbell like soup. And you can find me at marycampbell.com. And on that page, you can either make appointments or you can find my books there, the children's books there. I did want to say I do have a free 15-minute guided meditation. It's one of the best universal laws. It's on gratitude. So if you're feeling stressed about life or, oh my God, what do I do? Or just need a little boost. Oh, listen to it. It's wonderful, and it's free, no strings attached. You just put your name and email, and you can download it and listen to it over and over.
Well, you know what, Brains? Give yourself an opportunity to expand your bandwidth. Don't be afraid of what you don't know. You should be more afraid of what you do know. But you have to be open to it. You have to be respectful of Mary's gift and her space, but we also don't want to tread and infringe on yours. We want your children to be avid readers, be it Maggie Moose Tracks or, you know, something else. We are featuring great authors on the edge all the time. We want to hear about their inspirational story. We want you to go back and listen to other edgy conversations here on Blog Talk Radio or right here, YouTube channel, Spotify, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Watch Party. We are doing it all over the planet. We're doing it for you, and we're doing it with great people like Mary Campbell. Thank you so much, beautiful, for being here on The Edge. Keep us abreast of what's going on and what's inside the pages of your book and, you know, keeping us close to your heart.
Hey, and I'm also writing a book to help people access their own power. It's called Vibrating Power. It should be out in June. So thank you so much for having me. I love chatting with you, April. You know that.
I love you too. I love you too. Where's your postcard?
Right here. Here's my brain. Right.
Here we go, brains. We're about to take off.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye, baby brains.
Bye, baby brains.